My name is Larry Bartlett, and I serve as the Maine Forensic Association Lincoln Douglas debate moderator. The purpose of this audio file is to provide an introduction to Lincoln Douglas debate and to outline judging requirements and suggestions. At the beginning of each tournament, there will be a brief time allotted for instruction of judges, during which many of the points made here will be reviewed, along with any specific information that might pertain to the particular event being held. This will be an opportunity for you to ask questions that you might have. Judging Lincoln Douglas debate can be a bit intimidating at first, but after judging just a few rounds, I'm sure that it will seem much less so. Lincoln Douglas debate is a value-based style of debate where individuals square off against each other with a given topic that is identified as the debate round resolution. Each debater identifies a key value premise that either affirms the resolution or negates it, depending upon their assigned position for the round. The debaters then deliver their arguments, also called contentions, in support of their value, thus demonstrating that their value has validity and is essential in either achieving or denying the resolution. Each student is assigned to debate either the affirmative or negative position of the resolution by the tournament organizers just before the round begins. The round begins with the affirmative side delivering what is called the affirmative constructive. This is a speech lasting no more than 6 minutes in which the affirmative debater lays out his or her position in support of the resolution. The affirmative constructive should include the identification of a value and may include what is called a criterion, which serves to clarify the value as it relates to the resolution. For example, a value of justice can encompass many things. A debater might identify a criterion, such as the protection of rights, as a means of focusing the value to that which best relates to the resolution. While it is essential that a debater identify a value premise for the round, it is not mandatory to provide a clarifying criterion. If a debater offers a value without a criterion, however, the opponent is correct in holding the debater accountable for achieving all aspects of the stated value. Once the debater has identified a value and criterion, the affirmative constructive speech then should continue with supporting contentions that demonstrate the truth and worth of the value in the affirmation of the resolution. When the affirmative constructive speech is concluded, the negative position debater is then given 3 minutes to cross-examine the affirmative side debater. During this segment, the negative side may ask questions of the affirmative. A maximum of 3 minutes is allowed for these questions. It is important for the judge to understand that nothing that is said during the cross-examination is used by itself in the determination of the winner of the round. If, however, a valid point is raised during the cross-examination that is later introduced in a subsequent speech, consideration of that point can be made by the judge in the final decision. Following the cross-examination, the negative side debater delivers the negative constructive speech, lasting no more than 7 minutes in length. In this segment, the negative side debater has two responsibilities. First, a value premise must be identified, this time to negate the given resolution. Just as was the case with the affirmative debater, a criterion may be offered to clarify the value. Also, as was the case with the affirmative side, contentions must be given that support the negative side's value, which in turn serves to negate the resolution. The second responsibility of the negative constructive speech is to include an attack on the affirmative position. Following the negative constructive speech, the affirmative side then stands in cross-examination of the negative side. Clarification questions may be asked for a period not exceeding 3 minutes. As was the case for the first cross-examination, any points that are raised only are considered by the judge if such points are raised later on in the debate. The debate round then continues with the first affirmative rebuttal, in which the affirmative debater has up to 4 minutes to refute the attack points raised in the negative constructive and launch their own attack against the negative position. After the first affirmative rebuttal is concluded, the negative debater then delivers the negative rebuttal, lasting not more than 6 minutes. The negative rebuttal should include answers to the attack raised by the affirmative debater against the negative case. It should also include counterpoints that re-emphasize the negative attack points against the affirmative case. The debate round concludes with the affirmative debater delivering the second affirmative rebuttal, which should run for no more than 3 minutes. This concluding speech should include answers to the negative attack, re-emphasis of the attack points leveled against the negative case, and a summary statement that highlights the importance of the affirmative value and the fundamental reason why this value requires that the resolution be affirmed. At any point just prior to a debater's speech or cross-examination, the debater may ask for prep time, during which the debate is suspended, giving the debater an opportunity to review notes or prepare their thoughts. A total of 4 minutes are allowed for prep time for each debater, which can be divided up as the debater desires. Having outlined the basic structure of Lincoln-Douglas debate, I want to now move on to a few of the judging requirements. First, you will be responsible to make sure that the correct debaters arrive in your room and that each are prepared to debate the affirmative or negative position as they were assigned. The debate assignments of codes and positions will be posted just prior to each round, immediately outside the judge's lounge. If a debater fails to show up in a reasonable time, or if the debaters do not agree as to their assigned position, the tournament director in the tabulation room should be notified. Judges are responsible for keeping time during the debate and assuring that the debaters do not exceed their time allotment for any of the various debate round segments. For this purpose, it is useful to have a stopwatch during the round. If you do not have a stopwatch, watches are generally made available for loan at debate events by the Maine Forensic Association. A Lincoln-Douglas debate ballot must be filled out by the judge for each round. The ballot includes general information for the round that identifies each debater by code and their assigned debate position, that is affirmative or negative. Actual names of the debaters or the names of their schools are not used to avoid the potential for bias. Also included on the ballot is the indication of whether the debater won the round, of which debater won the round, by debater code and position debated, as well as space for comments that explain the basis for making the decision. The comments are extremely important because they help the debater understand what they have mastered and what they need to work on for future debates. Comments such as "good job" or "this was a very strong debate" help give debaters confidence but don't provide any real assistance to the debater in understanding why they won or lost the round. It is important to list concise statements that relate specifically to the value clash, the contentions given, and to the rebuttal arguments made during the debate. The ballot should clearly explain why the winning side won with reference to the key elements delivered in the debate round. The final item that must be filled out on the ballot is the assignment of speaker points. The ballot includes a range of speaker points that must be assigned to identify the strength of the speaking skills during the round by both debaters. The speaker point range will be explained at each debate tournament as part of the introductory judges training that is given prior to the start of the event. It is most usual that the winning debater will have the highest speaker points. In some circumstances, it may be that both debaters spoke equally well, but one side's case was superior to the other. In rare circumstances, the better speaker does not win the round, since their case was inferior to their opponent's. In the case of equal speaker points, the top of the ballot should be marked with the letters SPW, which indicates a same point win. In the case where the debater with a lesser speaker point assignment wins the round, the top of the ballot should be marked with the letters LPW for low point win. When the ballot is completed with the general information and the decision as to which debater won the round, along with speaker point assignments, the front white-colored sheet should be removed from the ballot and brought to the tabulation room. The comments for the round may then be written on the remaining portion of the ballot and turned into the tabulation room when completed. Turning in the front white sheet as soon as possible will help the tournament staff expedite the preparation of the assignments for the next round. Judges are responsible to enforce the rules that pertain to the debate. For MFA tournaments, electronic devices such as laptop computers, CD players, iPads, or smartphones with internet connection are not allowed during the debate round. If a student wants to use a cell phone to keep track of time, it is permitted. However, no other use of that cell phone is allowed. Debaters are required to conduct themselves in a courteous and respectful manner. Shouting, personal attacks, or crude or abusive language is not permitted. Debaters are to stand when they deliver their speeches and are to face the judge. Debaters are not allowed to introduce entirely new arguments in either the negative rebuttal or the second affirmative rebuttal. It is permitted to expand upon previously stated contentions or rebut previously stated contentions with additional information, but entirely new arguments that are stated in either of these two final speeches must be ignored by the judge when deciding the round. When a contention is advanced by a debater, the opponent has the responsibility to refute that argument. If not done, the contention is considered to be dropped, and in deciding the outcome of the round, the judge must assume that the opponent takes no exception with the dropped contention. If a debater makes a statement that the judge knows to be incorrect or is contradictory to a previous statement made by that debater, it shall not be counted against the debater unless their opponent identifies the mistake. If not raised as an issue by the opponent, the statement stands and must not be counted against the debater by the judge when rendering a decision. In determining the winner of the round, it should be understood that the affirmative debater carries the responsibility of demonstrating the universal truth of the resolution statement by means of identifying a value premise that is key to the resolution and is necessary for its achievement. The negative debater must show that the resolution should be negated because it doesn't represent truth, or that there is another truth that is more important. There are numerous ways that either side can construct a case to gain superiority over the other side. The key to the success of these approaches lies in the selection of the value premise and the attack that is mounted against the competing value. Several of the more common approaches include demonstrating that the opponent's value does not actually relate to the resolution, demonstrating that the opponent's value cannot be achieved in the context of the resolution, demonstrating the superiority of a value over the opponent's value, demonstrating that a value actually includes or provides for the opponent's value, and demonstrating that an opponent's contentions do not adequately support their value, thus leaving the validity of that value in question. Occasionally, both the affirmative debater and the negative debater identify the same value. In these instances, it may be that each debater provides a different criterion, which would provide for a separate interpretation of the stated value. The value clash then is formed around that difference in understanding of the value, as defined by each criterion. In rare cases, when both sides select the same value as well as the same criterion, it is left to be determined which side best utilizes the value to achieve either affirmation or negation of the resolution. Finally, I would like to give a few suggestions for inexperienced Lincoln Douglas judges. First, I strongly suggest that you become familiar with the resolution prior to coming to the tournament. Take time to at least perform a cursory investigation of the issues on either side of the resolution so that when you judge, you will be generally aware of the points being made. The more familiar you can get with the resolution issues prior to the debate, the more comfortable you will be in listening to the debaters present their cases. I caution you against getting caught up in debating the debaters. Each of us brings our own beliefs and opinions to the resolutions being debated. It is essential that you avoid letting those beliefs enter into the decision process. This is a debate between two students, and they should be objectively judged on whatever stance they take. Take good notes during the round. It is unlikely that when you fill out your ballot, you will remember all the points and counterpoints that were made. Therefore, you must take notes during the round so that later on you have a record to analyze of what was said. The information offered in debate rounds runs the full gamut from being fairly simple and straightforward to being extremely complex. Debate rounds typically include some element of philosophy that you may or may not be acquainted with. It is the debater's responsibility when introducing philosophy to explain its meaning and how it relates to their case. Simply introducing a philosophical concept by its commonly accepted name does not add meaning to a debate. It must be explained by the debater how that philosophical concept relates to the debater's case. And in so doing, it should make sense even to the judge who may have little or no familiarity with it. When determining a winner, you might think of the debate case as a chain. Each of the contentions is connected as a link to the stated value, and the value is a link connecting to the resolution. In a well-prepared case, the links are all strong and the contentions hold up the value, which in turn speaks directly to the resolution. In a weak case, the links become broken. Contentions are not well connected to the value, but rather they seem to stand as independent thoughts unto themselves. In these cases, often the value doesn't connect well to the resolution, and its relationship may seem somewhat contrived. Most importantly, the round should be decided on the strength of the value premise. It is therefore essential to have a strong value clash in a well-debated round. One of the two debaters must demonstrate that their value wins the day over their opponents, and because of this fact, the resolution must either be affirmed or negated. An indication of a weak debate round is one where the stated values play only a secondary role and the debate focuses on arguments about the contentions alone. Remember that there are people at each tournament who are happy to assist you. I encourage you to ask questions of the other debate judges when you find that elements of a debate round are not clear. To avoid establishing undue bias with other judges, do not identify the debaters or the specific details of any of the cases that you have seen, but do feel free to pose your questions in a general way in seeking answers. It is far better to ask and provide an informed decision on a ballot than to guess at what might be right. In conclusion, let me thank you on behalf of the MFA for being willing to volunteer as a Lincoln Douglas debate judge.